Today's shir is Masechet Bavim Tziyah Daf Pei Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis at the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud Amar of Chizda. The Mishnah we had learned in our previous shir had been speaking about someone who had contracted for one type of animal or particularly one type of grain and was sold a different type of grain. And the question was, is the sale valid? Is it not valid? Is it considered the same as what we agreed upon? Is it not considered the same as we agreed upon? Which is essentially, as we learned very extensively in Masechet Bava Basra, a question of Aino, that we learned in Masechet Bava Basra, that if somebody overcharged, undercharged, there's a question of Aino. The halacha there we learned, and we have to see if our Gemara follows that opinion, is that if the overcharge, undercharge is less than a sixth, then it doesn't count. If it's exactly a sixth, the sale stands, but you have to return the amount that was overcharged or undercharged. And if it's more, the sale is null. The sale is null and void. Says the Gemara, Amar Chizda. So says Rav Chizda, Machalai Shava Chamesh B'Sheish. If the seller was the one that did the wrong thing here, he sold something that is worth only 5 zuz for 6 zuz. So we have an overcharge of a sixth. And then before the sale could be established, before the buyer could back, the buyer could still back out. For the Rashbam reminds us that the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia taught us that how long can a buyer back out? That's as long as he could have shown it to his friend, to his relative, to an expert, and then they would tell him that you were charged the wrong price. Then that's how long he could back out. If he had a chance to do so and he didn't ask, that is considered that he forgave the Anor. So before that time came, Hook of Omer al Shmoina, the price of this item went up and now it's worth 8 zuz. So what happened is the tables turned, that originally it was something, this was a transaction in which the buyer was cheated, but because of price change, it turns out that the seller was cheated. The halacha is, and the amount of time that the seller could back out is actually even longer than the amount of time that the buyer could back out. So now it's the seller who wants to back out. Teaches us Rav Chizda. In the original transaction, Minas Ana, who was the one that was cheated? The Lekeach. And therefore, says Rav Chizda, Lekeach Yochalachsevoy, it's the buyer who could back out, the Loy Meicher, and not the seller. And he explains why is so. Mishum da Amalei, because the buyer could say to the seller, Ilo Loyim Nisan, had you not originally overcharged me, so then the sale would be a full-fledged sale, which nobody could back out of because it was the amount that you charged me, what the halacha, what I was supposed to be charged. So now, what happened here is that it was a sale that we could back out of. Why was it a sale that we could back out of? Because you overcharged me. Hashta Denison, you were the one that overcharged me, and you should now, Matzis Hadrbach, be able to back out? In other words, it doesn't make sense that you should be able to back out of a deal that you did the wrong thing, and now you want to take advantage even further using that to back out. And therefore, the halacha is that you can't back out. So Tosfos asks, the halacha is that, as we said at the beginning of our shir, that when it was more than a shtus, then it's not that that's considered a mekach tos. So if that's considered a mekach tos, why can't both of them back out? So Tosfos answers, let's say there is a situation where it is indeed more than a shtus, but the person who was cheated is satisfied with that deal. So the halach is a very bechiddush, Tosfos says, it's the opinion of the Rivam, that under those circumstances, says the Rivam, the one who did the wrong thing cannot force the sale to become nullified. And he says that's part of what Rav Chisda teaches us. Only in a case where the person who, and he says, only in a case where the person who was cheated wants to back out and say bittel mekach, will we say bittel mekach. But we don't say bittel mekach in a case for the person who cheated to be able to, for whatever reason, now use it to back out. Another pshat is that the Rashbam says is that our Gemara is following an opinion that in those that you can't back out necessarily always, even though that's not the halacha. Says Rav Chisda that the Tana Tuna, that our Mishnah says the Gemara, that our Mishnah actually supports what Rav Chisda said. Because our Mishnah said, Yimtsa Yafais v'Nimtsa Ra'as, the produce that was sold, the agreement was to sell high quality produce. And then afterwards, v'Nimtsa Ra'as, it turns out to be poor quality produce. L'keich Yachalaksboi, so the Mishnah is, said that the buyer could back out for Loi Meicher. Why? Why can't the seller back out? The answer is that we're going to have to say that our Mishnah is speaking about a case that the buyer who was the one that originally was the one that was cheated, it turned around and then the tables turned around. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us it's only the buyer that backs out, not the seller. So Tosfos asks, in our previous year, when we learned the Mishnah, when the Mishnah introduced this concept that there were different types of Arba Meichrim, so Tosfos asked the question, why was it necessary to teach us the case of Yafos v'Nimtsa Yafos, Ross v'Nimtsa Ross, that if somebody sells, he's selling good quality and turned out to be good quality, or he said he's selling poor quality and it turned out to be poor quality, the loch is we learned that the sale is a good sale. And Tosfos asked, why did the Mishnah have to tell us that din? So Tosfos answered that the reason the Mishnah told us that din was because the Mishnah just wanted to complete and tell us all the different types of scenarios that could be had by a sale. So ask Tosfos, if that's the case, why do we have to say Yafos v'Nimtsa Ra'as, Yukeich Lachos L'Achzabai, is coming to teach us the halacha of Rav Chisda today? Why don't we just say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us exactly what all the different types of scenarios, even if there isn't this Chiddush? So Tosfos answers, to have a Mishnah that has no Chiddush in it doesn't make any sense. In other words, Tosfos says, if some of the cases of the Mishnah represent a situation of represent a Chiddush, so even though not all of the cases of the Mishnah represent a Chiddush, we could say the Mishnah taught us some cases that represent the Chiddush, and then the Mishnah didn't teach us any other cases. But in a case where there's no Chiddush in the Mishnah, that doesn't make sense that we should have a Mishnah that doesn't have any chidushim in it, nothing that to be taught. That's why Tosfos says, under those circumstances, we must be saying that the Mishnah is coming to teach us a chidush, the chidush of Chisda. Ve'amar Rav Chisda, machlo sheish b'chamesh. The other way around, where a seller sold the buyer something which is really worth six and he charged him five. So at this point, it's the meicher, the buyer who was cheated. But now what happened was, Huzla v'amir al-Shalish. Now they went down, and it went down to three. So now it's the buyer who wants to back out. Minasana. So says Rav Chisda again, based on what we learned in the Mishnah, as we'll see. The Meicher is the one that originally came back out. And therefore, under these circumstances, says Rav Chisda, Meicher Yochalach Zabai, the seller could back out, for Lailakecha, not the buyer. Domle, because the seller can say to the buyer, Ila Loya Nisan, had you not cheated me, so the deal would be a deal. Loyava Matzah Hadrach Bach. We couldn't have backed out. Hashta, so now, because things turned around, says the seller to the buyer, you want to be able to back out? You can't back out. And some of the Rishonim actually introduce a concept here of Chayt Nisker. We don't want a person who did the wrong thing to profit, which we can argue is what is happening here. Because one can make an argument that this is Chayt Nisker because the seller, the buyer, is taking advantage of the halacha when it's to his benefit, and that is unacceptable. Here the halacha is that a seller, as I said earlier in the shiur, could back out much longer than a buyer. The halacha is that a seller, as we learned in Masechta Metzia, the buyer could only back out for the amount of time that he could have shown it to relative, but because it explains the Gemara over there, because that is what buyers normally do. They bring it to other people to evaluate for them, was this a good deal or not? The seller has no reason to do that. He sold it already. He doesn't have the item that was sold anymore. And therefore, the seller has much less of an opportunity to back out, has much longer of an opportunity to back out. Says the Gemara of a ton of tuna. And again, says the Gemara that this halacha is ostensibly taught in our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, Ra'as v'nimtza yafos, if the product that he said that he's selling him poor quality grain, and it ended up being good quality grain, Meicher Yochalach Zabai, so was the seller who was cheated. That's why the seller could cheat, could back out v'lo lekeach. And it's the point of saying that only the seller could back out and not the buyer is to tell us that even in a case where the situation changes and it's now to the benefit of the buyer to back out, since originally it wasn't his benefit, that's the way we keep it. So ask the Gemara. So the way we're learning, Rav Chisda taught us two halachas in today's shiur, and the Gemara said that both halachas that we've learned in today's shiur are in the Mishnah. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, my Kamashman, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? What is Rav Chisda coming to teach us? Masnisani, what he's teaching us is a Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Ima Masnisan, if we had only the Mishnah, have a Mina, Dilma Rav Chisda, Tavai Matzah Hadribe. If not for the Mishnah, we would think that the Halacha does not follow the opinion of Rav Chisda. And we would think that both the buyer and the seller could back out. Because we would think that if this is a situation of Aina, we would think that since it's a situation of Aina, then once it's in that category of being an Aina, they both could back out. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that no, that they both can't back out, even though it is a sale that has Aina in it. I asked the Gemara if we're not going to explain if the halacha will not be like Rav Chisda. So we had a question as we discussed. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? And if we're saying that our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav Chisda, that question becomes most relevant. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Teaches us the Gemara. Masnisan, we would say, Hayna Tama. The way we would explain the Mishnah is Mishum is because there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Mishum Deksiv. The pasuk says in Mishnah, Ra Ra Yoyma Koinam. People's nature is that the buyer always says that what he bought is bad, and the seller always says that what he sold is good quality. So in the ratio, when they both agreed that the sale will be for good quality wheat, and it turned out to be bad, and Now the seller wants to back out. So the buyer maybe could say that there was no Einoi here altogether. Because even though you said Yafis, I never really expected to get Yafis. I know that it's your nature to say it's Yafis, even though it's Ross. And the Sefer, where they agreed to sell Ross, and it turns out to be Yafis, and now the buyer wants to back out because the person who sold it was the one that was cheated. He was supposed to give poor quality and gave good quality. The seller could say to the buyer, you bought it assuming that it's bad and you didn't get ripped off. I said it in that it's good. It's not what people say, what sellers and buyers say doesn't really count. But we speak about the case of Chizda, there was a real Einoi. In the case of Rav Chisda, where he overcharged or undercharged, that isn't the case of our Mishnah. So we just had the Mishnah itself, we wouldn't be able to know this halacha. Only Rav Chisda draws out that the halacha is that if the buyer was cheated and then it turned and the table turns around, or vice versa, if the seller was cheated and then the tables turn around, the person cannot back out. Because, as we said, Shloyehei Chayta Niska. Agamara has spoken about Einoi. And as we spoke when we spoke in explaining the Gemara, the halacha is, until when can you back out of the deal? Because when we speak about Einoi, the Machna Ephraim points out there are two ways that we can have here a situation of Einoi. One case is where, as we just spoke about, the use is the price. That's what we typically think about when we think about Einoi. And the other case is where the product that I bought is faulty, it's damaged. So the Machta Ephraim says that even though we just learned in our shir that there's a time frame for how long you could claim Einoi, and there's another point. If I bought something and I used it, then after I found that, if I used it after I found out that I paid the wrong price, that is clearly an indication that the deal will stand. What would be the halacha if I discovered something wrong with the product and I used it after I discovered? And what would be the halacha? Can I back out at that point? Was the fact that I used it a reason that I could back out at any, still not, if I used to make the deal a deal, or I can't back out. The Machna Ephraim that says that if I notify the seller that what you sold me is defective, even if I used it and I want to return it, even if I used it, I could still return it. It's a very big chiddush, and the Galia Masechta says, of course not. The Mekech Tos, the Mekech Tos is a Mekech Tos only if I used it. But if not, then it's not considered a Mekech. Once I use it, no matter what the reason, it's not a good sale. Using it after discovering that it shouldn't, that I could give it back and not giving back makes it mine. We learned in the Mishnah that if we agreed to sell Shechamtis, the Nimtzis Levana, or vice versa, Levana and Nimtzis Shechamtis, then the Mishnah taught us that it's not considered a good sale, that the sale is void. Amar Rabbi Papa, Midik Tani, Shechamtis and Nimtzis Levana, Shmamina, Hai Shimsha Sumukdihi. We can learn from here that the sun is red. That because as the Gemara, the Mefarshim explained, there are two colors in wheat. There's red wheat and white wheat. And our Mishnah says that the red wheat, it's called Shechamtis. Why is it called Shechamtis? Because of the Chama, because it's the sun. And the sun, if the red is called Shechamtis, and it's also called because of the sun that way, it's a proof that the Chama is red. Teda, it says the Gemara, proof to you that is correct. The Kosamka Tzafra Panya, the sun in the morning and the evening, the sun is very red. And why don't we see it during the day that red? If it's red, it should be red all the time. He says, because we don't have such good eyesight. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. The Torah Kedosha speaks about a nega. The person, Rachman Tzlon, has a nega on his body. And the Torah Kedosha speaks about four different types of negoim. The Harris is very white, snow white. Seis, which is a little less white, like the wool of a sheep that just was born. Then there's white, which is even less than ace. That's when it's white like plaster. That's called sapachas, which is a tolda of beheres, as the Gemara Masechet Shavuos teaches us. And then there's loiven, which is even less white than plaster. It's like the white of the membrane of an egg. It's also called sapachas, and it's a tolda of seis. So when the Torah speaks about these four different colors, says the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, that vavam beis, that beheres, which we just said, is the whitest of all the colors. The pasuk says, v'ra'a koinas anega, v'hine mareh omek min ar. When we put something white next to something black, the white looks deep. What does that mean? Means kamar chama mukim in itzel. They're just like the place where the sun shines. And you have a shade there. The sun looks lighter than the shade. So too, the nega has to be lighter than the skin color. So ask the Gemara, Hasam Lovenhu was saying that it's white. So if we say that when we speak about the sun, and we're speaking about a white color, isn't that a proof that the sun is white, not red? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand that halacha by Negoyim is to understand kamara chama v'loy kamara chama. The nega looks like the sun in certain ways and not. Kamara chama, that it has this characteristic, that mukim in itzel, as we said, that it's deeper than the color, than the shade next to it. However, v'loy kamara chama, but not completely that way. The whole some lovan, because when we speak about Negoim, as we explained, we speak about white. V'hocha, the sun is red. Ask the Gemara, ulamai desalkadat mikara. And what we wanted to say, ask the Gemara, that we wanted to say that the sun is white. What are we going to do? But we do see that the sun is red. For kasam katzafra panya, that in the beginning of the day, the end of the day, we see the sun is red. So how could we ever thought that the sun is not red? Answers the Gemara, we would have thought that the sun is really white. Why does it look red in the morning? The chofa beivad the Gan Eden. It passes the rose gardens of Gan Eden, which are on the east side. And we know that the sun comes up on the east side. And that's why, because it's passing that place, it has this red look. And at night, it's red. The chalfa pesach de Gehenim. It passes by Gehenim. Vikadamru, but there's some say ipcha, just the opposite. In the morning, it gets up on the west side, and we see it on the east side. That's because of Gehenim. And at night, it's because of the rose gardens. So there's a very interesting discussion that I saw that Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zitzal has in his Sefer Derech Amuna. He discusses the halacha, what would be if you bake matzah not in an oven with fire, you bake it in the sun. This is a question that we have in Shabbos also. When is it considered that you did an act of bishul, of cooking in Shabbos? Is it only if you cooked in a fire, or you cooked in the sun? So Chaim Kanievsky wants to suggest that even if we'll say that cooking in the sun is not considered cooking, but maybe cooking in the time that the Gemara just said, in the time of the day where it's cooked, the sun is hot because it passes by Gehenim, so then maybe it would make a difference, because Gehenim we know is a fire.
And if Gehenna is a fire, if you're cooking anything in the time when the sun is passing Gehenna, then you're cooking something because of fire. So Chaim Kanievsky says that even if we'll say, the Gemara is saying, that at a certain point the sun is red because of Gehenna, and that's a real fire, it's still the sun. And whatever the halacha will be by cooking in fire will be the halacha immaterial if it was what time of the day. We learned further in the Mishnah, Yayin v'nimtza chametz, if somebody sold wine and turned out to be vinegar, or vice versa, chametz v'nimtza yayin, shnei michayim l'achzaboy, it represents a situation that what was promised wasn't delivered. So again, suggest the Mishnah, suggest the Gemara Leimas Nisan, let's suggest that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Hivalei Rabbanim, the Tanya. If somebody, yayin, the chaymitz, wine, and when we speak about vinegar in the time of Chazal, we speak about wine vinegar. And he says that, he says, min echerhu, it's considered, the Rabbanan hold, it's considered the same. And as the Farshim explained, according to Rabbanan, who hold, the Rashbam explains, according to the Rabbanan that say the yayin v'chaymitz is min echad, the halach is that hatayr mizeh alzeh, if somebody takes truma from two different batches of the same thing, the halach is truma sa truma. So if yayin v'chaymitz are both the same thing, then the truma will be good at truma. And for another halacha, we often discuss the halacha of Meid v'miksis. The Torah Gdosh says that if somebody comes over to me and says, you owe me $100, and I admit that I owe 50, that's called Meid v'miksis. And as we've learned many times, the halacha is that there the Torah says, I have to make a shvua. But we also learn often that when we speak about the halacha of Meid v'miksis, that has to be, the taina has to be mimin, the haido has to be mimin a taina. Like we just said, you said I owe you $100, I admit it to 50. But let's say it's going to be a case where tana chitim, where you say I owe you wheat, for haidlai besarim, and I say I agree that I owe you barley. It's two different things, apples and oranges. So even though that's not considered a case of moedim amixis. So that, says the Rashbam, will be relevant to what we speak about. If you claim that I owe you wine, and I admit to chaimitz, if it's one min, it'll be a case of maidu mixes. If it's not one min, it won't be a case of maidu mixes. So the runner hold, the yayim v'chaimitz min echru. Rabbi Omer, shnei minim. They considered two different minim. And says the Gemara, based on what we're learning in our Mishnah, that if I said I'm selling you yayin and I give you chaimitz, or vice versa, the sale is voided, it's a raya that they're two different meaning. Says the Gemara, no. We could suggest that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanan. Because at Kanle Plig Rabbanan lay the Rebbe, where did Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe? Elinya Maisa v'truma, like we just said, regarding Hilchus Maisa and Truma, they considered the same min. And you could take Baisa from one, Truma from one on the other or not. Because this, there's a special halacha there of Illa taught us. Damer of Ilah. How do we know that if you took the Truma off from the poor quality, for the poor quality grain, for all what you have to take, so Truma, so Truma, that the Truma is considered a valid Truma, you won't have an Aveira, but Rimchas Chalba Memenu. If you do so, it's not going to be considered. If you do it properly, you won't do an Aveira. If you don't do it properly, you're doing an Aveira. If what you're doing is not Enoi Kodesh, if what you're doing is invalid, Nesias Chayit Lama, why would it be considered that you did an Aveira? It must be. From here we learn, Mekan L'Tayim and Aroa L'Yofa, if somebody takes Truma from poor quality and good quality, the Loch is Shetruma Shetruma. The Gemara, the Mefarshim all point out that the Gemara Masechet Tmura, beginning Masechet Tmura, Daf Dalid, says the opinion of Rava, the Kol Milsa Damar Rachman Alay Savid, anything that the Torah says, don't do. Iyavid, if you did it, Loi Mahani, it's meaningless. If the whole transaction is meaningless. So Tosfos asks, according to Rava, why is the question? The reason the Torah has to say this pasuk, because if not for this, that what you're doing is valid, but you're getting an aveira, is because otherwise, according to Rava, it would be invalid because of the rule of Kamal's Omer Rahman al Savid, Yavloy Mahami. So Tosfos answers that the question of the Gemara is not Nesias Chet Loma. The question is, the Torah, we automatically know that it's an Aveira. Why did the Torah have to go out of the way to tell us, like Sisal of Chet, that if you take off the wrong, if you did it the wrong way, it's an Aveira? If the Torah said, the Halimchem, Barimchem Schelba Memenu, which means you have to take from good on good, why did the Torah have to say Nesias Chet? To teach us this halacha. Mikan, the Torah min Aral Yofesh Trumasa Truma. So that's halacha regarding truma. Avalinya Mekach Memka Seder Abonin, the Kula Alma Seder Abonin, everybody will agree. And the Gemara is suggesting that even Rebbe, who disagrees and says that Rebbe for certain, but even the Rabbanan will say, Ika de Nichale Bechamra, Vla Nichale Bechala. If I want wine, I don't want vinegar. Ika de Nichale Bechala, Vla Nichale Bechamra. And if I want vinegar, I don't want wine. So everybody will agree, if I contracted for one and I got the other, that the that it's not considered a valid deal. It's considered that I didn't get what I wanted. It says the Mishnah Mechah Peres L'Chaveira, if I sell fruit to someone else, and as we often discuss, of you always have to have a kinyan. And as we also discussed, Meshicha is a good kinyan. So if we did Meshicha v'loy madad, even though we didn't actually measure how much is here, the halacha is that it's already considered a valid kinyan. However, points out the Rashbam, it's only in a case where we had agreed on a price. If we had not agreed on a price, or it's something that, says the Rashbam, that has a price that easily identifiable. But if there was no price agreed upon, and it's not something that has a known price, everybody will agree that the sale is void. And the reason everybody will agree that the sale is void, because what is the whole purpose of a kinyan? The whole purpose of a kinyan is smichas das, is to represent that there was a seriousness of intent here. You could do meshicha, you could do whatever you want, but if I don't know what I'm paying, we don't have that smichas das, and without smichas das, we wouldn't have a kinyan. Modad v'loy mashach, but let's say we measured, weighed, how much is being sold, but there was no meshicha, the halacha is that loikana, there is no sale. So Tosfos explains, and the Rashba says the same, that the case of the Mishnah is referring to a case where the seller is the one that did the measuring. And since the seller is the one that did the measuring, there is no kinyan. But let's say the buyer did the measuring, and again, we're speaking about a case where the price has been established, says Tosfos in the Rashbam, that will be a kinyan. The act of medida, ein lecha meshicha gedoy lemezu. The Raiva disagrees, because the point of the meshicha, says the Raiva, is to accomplish that it's being brought in, that it's the buyer is taking it into his rishus and showing ownership. But medida, when medida is done, explains the Raiva, it's being done for the benefit of both of us. Since it's being done for the benefit of both of us, that can't be considered a valid act of kinyan. Says the Mishnah, v'mhayu pikeach, if the buyer is smart and he wants to take immediate ownership of those payers, what he should do is, soichus mekayman, he should take ownership of the place where those payers are, and that will give us, explains the Rashbam, a very strong kinyan, a kinyan chotzer. The Tosfos has a different approach. He says, by renting the spot where those payers that I'm buying are, it's not a kinyan chotzer, says Tosfos, it's to be viewed as a kinyan, that is an act of a kinyan of meshicha. And the Iter says that it's considered a kinyan because of kinyan agav. Since I'm renting this space, Agav, I'm renting the space, it's also going to be, I'm going to take ownership of these payers. Says the Mishnah, Lekech Pishta Mechaveroi. If I buy linen from someone else, Hareza Loikana, it doesn't become mine. Achiyatulatanami Makam Lamekon. Once I do Hagbah to take it to my place, to take it to where I am, as we have learned and will continue to learn, that is the highest level of Kinyan. Maya Mechubel Karka. If the Pishtan that I bought is still attached to the ground, the Talosh, and the buyer rips out some of that Pishtan, Talosh Koshu, even some of it, Kana, he becomes the owner of it. Amar of Asi, Amar of Yoichan. Madad, if somebody measured the amount of fruit that's being sold, counted it, Viniach al Simta, he put it on the Simta, which is, as we learned and will be discussing, is a place where off the Rishus Rabbim, where many Kinyanim could take place, since people could put down their packages in the Simka, so it's considered a place that belongs to everybody. That is considered as if he put it into the Rishus of the buyer, and therefore we have a valid Kinyan. Amalei Rav Zeiler Rav Ami, Shemla Shema Rabbi, he asked him, maybe Rav Asi, you only heard Rav Yochanan, El B'moid L'toich Kupasoi. Only if the seller put it into the buyer's vessel, that's when it's considered a valid Kinyan. And the Halacha will be, explains the Rashbam, and this is going to be a very big discussion, when are the Caliph Shalakeach, when are the Kalim of the Lekeach able to affect the Kinyan? And we're going to learn they're able to affect the Kalim of Shalakeach are able to affect the Kinyan. So by putting them into the Kinyan, in my Kalim, that's why it's going to be a valid Kinyan. And of course, what the Gemara is teaching us is that Kalim of Shalakeach can make a Kinyan, but the Kalim of Shalakeach can only make a Kinyan, we're learning, in a Simta, but not in a Rishus Rabbim. Amalei, so Rav Asi said to Rav Zeira, "Dame haim rabbanu to gloy gamri imchi shmatza." What you're saying is something that would be said by somebody who never learned. Madal tak kapasoi. If we're speaking about a case where it was put into the kalim of the lekeach, memraboy. Of course, if it's the kalim of the lekeach and they're in the simta, what's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, "Kibla minei." I like Kibbutz Minei. So the question is, so it must be, says Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan meant, even if it wasn't put into the keli of the lekeach, it was just put in the floor of the simta, it's going to be a valid keli, a valid kinyan. That's what Rav Yochanan is teaching us. So ask the Gemara, Kibbutz Minei or like Kibbutz Minei? Did Rav Zeira accept what Rav Asi said or not? Toshima, Damar Rav Yanai, Amar Rebbe, Chatzar HaShutfim. If you have a chatzar that belongs to two partners, they could use, each of the partners could use that chotzer to affect the kinyan chotzer. My love, isn't it referring to a situation al gabe karka, that it's on the floor of that chotzer? So we see that where a kinyan is valid, it doesn't have to be in the kalim of the lekeach. The floor is adequate. Says Marloi, says the Gemara, it's talking about a case of letoich chupasai. You put it into his keli, but just on the floor, it would not be, just on the floor alone would not be sufficient. Hachna mistabra, says the Gemara, and it makes sense that is the way to learn. Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, Madav v'niach al gab simta. If you put it on the simta loikana, it's not a valid kinyan. So ask the Gemara. We have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Kashya Dodi, we started the Gemara with saying Rabbi Yochanan saying that putting it on the Simta is a good Kinyan, and here it says it's not. How do we reconcile it? Elav Shmamina, the answer must be the Kam B'Moed L'Toich K'Pasoi. When you put it into the Keli of the Lekeach that's in the Simta, it's going to be a good Kinyan. Kam B'Moed L'Gab Karka, where it's not a good Kinyan. So says the Gemara, Shmamina, isn't this a compelling proof? Says the Gemara, another question. Toshma, Madad, we learned in our Mishnah,
if they measured the payers, the seller measured the payers, counted the payers. For like Mashach, but there was no Mashicha, the Halach is Loikana. There is no valid Kinyan. And isn't the Mishnah speaking about my lab, the Simta? And we see that even though it was put on the Simta, the Halacha would be that it's not a good Kinyan. So why? Because it was put on the Karka, not in the Keli. The issue in our Mishnah is that it was put in the Rishus HaRabim. We said at the beginning that only in the Rishus, in the Simta could a Kinyan take place, not in the Rishus HaRabim. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that our Mishnah is speaking about Rishus HaRabim. Yachi Emiresha, the Mishnah said there was a Mashicha, even though there was Loi Modad. But we said that speaking about a case where the price was established, Kana, says the Gemara. But if we're going to say, ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that our Mishnah is speaking about Rishus HaRabim, the question is, Mashicha Rishus HaRabim Mikanya? Can you do Mashicha and Rishus HaRabim? For Rai V'Rabad Ami Tavayu Masira, that if the seller picks it up, if the buyer picks it up, then Kana Rishus HaRabim, that would be, if the seller gives it to the buyer, that works in Rishus HaRabim. And the chatzah shen is shneim, or in a chatzah that doesn't belong to either of them. Mashicha, but Mashicha is only valid in a simta, or in a chatzah shish shneim. Like Ba, as we've been discussing, kainim b'kol makom. So we say, so the question is, if the Mishnah began with Mashicha, Mashicha never works in Shus HaRabim, so how can we say that our Mishnah is speaking better in Shus HaRabim? And it says, my mashach nami liktani, when the Mishnah spoke about Mashicha and the Reisha, it meant that you pulled it from the Rishus HaRabim to the Simta. Because it was, if it was in the Rishus HaRabim, it wouldn't be a valid Kinyan. Ask the Gemara Yochi, Ema Seifa, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, how can we always make sure to make a Kinyan? Ema Yepikeach, Soichas Mekomim, with the various Pshatim we said. Ask the Gemara, but if our Mishnah, and like that you'll have Kinyan Chotzer. Ask the Gemara, but if our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Rishus HaRabim, E Rishus HaRabim, Man Oiger, how could you take ownership of Rishus HaRabim? Says the Gemara, Hachikomer. What the Mishnah meant to say at the end is a Rishus Balamhi. The Mishnah is saying, the beginning of the Mishnah spoke about a Rishus HaRabim. But then the Mishnah continues teaching us that if what is being sold was in the property of the Moicher, and the buyer wants to take ownership, how can the buyer take ownership? If the buyer is smart, by being soicher mekamam will have a kinyan chatzer, as we learned, and that will always be effective to make a good kinyan.